814 My TV.
Happy Valentine's Day. Are you running out frantically to get some candy, some flowers, or just some dog food? You know what women want? They want a day where they don't have to do squat. If they have to do all the errands, just do the errands. You don't have to buy all the other stuff. Just do, run around, pick up the cleaning. I guess you have to spend a little bit of Jack. Pick up the cleaning, pick up some groceries, take the kids out, whatever, give them a break. If you're not in the family situation, then it's kind of a different story. Maybe just make dinner or something. How's that? You don't necessarily have to be part of the flower candy brigade. Just my two cents right off the top. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, that's the name of the show, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. A couple of big things have happened since last week, and then looking forward, what we'll be talking about coming out of the Beltway, you know, that we do that each and every single show here on ATN, so we try to get to the skinny. And the big things are going to be that Robert Gibbs, the White House flack, I mean, spokesperson, is gone, history, and instead Jay Carney, who worked for Joe Biden, steps in, a former newspaper guy, to lead the reporters. More information, less information, eh, we'll wait and see. Probably a little tentative at first, so I'm thinking, worried that he's going to step on, you know, say the wrong thing. So not a lot of flow, I would believe, at the beginning of Carney stepping in, but he may end up being one of the better ones since he was a journalist. We'll see. Why do you care about who the White House spokesperson is? Because sometimes when they're decent, you get more of what's really happening. You get a better sense of what's going on, and at least from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, believe it or not. But the Obama people are so tight-lipped, and it's such a bizarre lockdown. Even the most liberal of the reporters that covers the White House says it's ridiculous how tied up they are about saying anything. And then that's, I think, part of the problem coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue anyway. Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. Egyptian military dissolved parliament, if you hadn't heard, over the weekend. It's all about the military because Mubarak is out after 30-plus years, so they suspend the constitution and promise elections that'll be wide open. But when they're said to be wide open, what does that mean? Does it mean that the Muslim Brotherhood folks get in or somebody that represents them? Does it mean that there is some form of democracy? What's really around the bend for Egypt? Since I'm not Madam Cleo and I'm not charging $15 a minute to look into the crystal ball, and I can't do that, I know as much as you know. We've had people on the show. We've had experts. I've talked to experts off the air. There's all kinds of philosophies that are flowing in the Egypt question. But here's what it sounded like on the street anyway with the Egyptians.
We are the best people in the world, and we must do that. We must see we are Egyptian. We are Egyptian.
We are Egyptian. We're not American. We're not somebody else. We're Egyptians. That's one of the things that keeps coming out of this. Why? It's like somebody said, somebody I heard over the weekend, I don't know who it was, just somebody in the street, said, why do we have to listen to the United States? Why do we care? Well, they do want the ally in the United States. After all, the United States did fund the military in Egypt for 30-plus years. But, hey, this is a free country. They can do what they want to do, and now they will do what they want to do. And it might not be in the best interest of the United States or surrounding countries to Egypt or to Europeans, because then the economy issues can kick in. The military has acted swiftly, though. There are not problems in the streets today. The traffic is flowing. The Bank of Egypt was closed as they investigate what's gone on with the money. And there are people that are still disenfranchised. But Mubarak is out. And this is one of the interesting things. Of course, they're looking to see where the money went from Mubarak. What about the Mubarak fortune? How much? $70 billion. I mean, that's incredible. That's, do you know that, we'll do the math, it's bigger than Bill Gates' pile of jack. So Switzerland has actually frozen whatever assets they have of Mubarak's and the people surrounding him because of the anti-corruption people who are demanding that his hidden wealth be frozen so they can look at it. Where did the money come from? And how are they going to recover that? What happens with Mubarak? I mean, $70 billion, and that's the thing. All that was starting to be reported. So people were screaming also in the streets, where did that money come from? Where did you get $70 billion? Well, of course, in Mubarak's reign in Egypt, what do you think? 40% of the country's 80 million people live on $2 or less a day. Can you imagine? $2 or less? So what kind of deals do you think Mubarak had? How much money, we know a big chunk of it went to the military, but where did all the other money go? Now they're looking under the hood. Ultimately, what will they recover, if anything? They're going to trace the assets, and they're going to see what they can find and see if they can, you know, if the corruption allegations, if they can hold up. You know, the bottom line is, and of course they want a speedy look into this, a speedy investigation, because then the Mubarak's, who have never, see, this is the thing, the Mubarak's have never publicly discussed their assets. Of course they haven't. What was his salary as president? What was he making? Well, on the books, the money wasn't that high. But what was he really taking? And where is all this money? And there's allegations about real estate. So he may have some money buried and tied up in real estate, too. So I'm surprised why did they just have this all tied up neatly so they could bolt? Not that I'm suggesting that, but they could just bolt and not worry about this. But they're looking into all of the family and trying to figure out if they could even recover, if they can prove it, recover any of the Mubarak money and say that it should go back to the country of Egypt. And I'm going to say they're going to have a hard time doing that, to be sure. All right, this is on a positive note here. Because we need some positive news, right? I feel like I don't want to be the cynic that constantly comes on the air to bombard everything. The congresswoman who was shot in the head, Congresswoman Giffords, it seems to be having this, like, incredible recovery. Every time you turn around, you read something about her, it's just gangbusters. Unbelievable what's been going on with her, and that's what her staff is reporting and her husband and whatever. And I guess that she's actually been able to talk with a brother-in-law by phone. I'd say that's a pretty big deal. She understands what's being said, and she's been spitting out short kind of verbal responses. You have to go back to January 8th, so it's only been over a month. This rehab process is incredible. She, you know, who knows where she's going to end up. Stay with us.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. And she'll tease you, she'll unhease you. All the better just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got
home. Coming up, we have birthdays. Can you imagine having your birthday on Valentine's Day? Not bad. I think it'd be tougher to have a birthday if you think of celebrating holidays and stuff. It's mostly when you're a kid. I think the Christmas time would be tough because presents and everybody preoccupied with that. If your birthday was on Christmas Day, that would be kind of weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But Valentine's Day, not necessarily as big of a deal. However, when something falls on a day when you're supposed to get something anyway, it's the kid part of you, or when you're a kid, feeling like you're getting gypped because your brothers and sisters have a completely separate day where it's a big deal and the balloons are out and they got the big Carvel ice cream cake. Did you ever get any of those Carvel ice cream cakes? You know what I'm talking about. Ooh, I used to like those. But I think really my favorite is chocolate. When someone makes a chocolate cake and it's chocolate inside, ooh, that is good. I don't like the kind of prefab cakes you get. You know when you're a kid that have whatever, you're into soccer, you're into tennis, you're into football, or whatever they put on the cake, and it has that really sickeningly sweet icing with the, it looks like hedges kind of on it. Mm, I'm more for the ice cream cake. Matt, how about you? When you celebrated a birthday when you were a kid, did you have an ice cream cake? Did you have a homemade cake? Did you have a big sheet cake? Do you remember?
I was never a huge fan of cakes. So I'd always, I've done the ice cream cake thing when I was younger. I used to get a big cookie, too. You know what I'm talking about? Like a giant
yes, I like
cookie.
Those.
I had that before, but the thing I've done, I said probably the last 10 or 15 years, is I always get a pie. I'm a huge pie guy.
Oh, so like an apple pie or
apple pie, yeah. Cherry. I think I did cherry pie last year. I switch it up, keep everyone on their toes with what kind of pie choice it will be. But yeah, I'm big into pie and not big into cake.
But if you get the pie, do you get a la mode? So in other words, you warm it up and then plop like vanilla ice cream on it?
Well, I mean, it depends on what kind of pie you get, but yeah, most of the time, yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good.
The only kind of cake I actually would say I like is banana cake.
Oh, I like banana cake.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that's good. Wow, bringing back memories. How about that? A pie with some candles in it. Yeah, and he's getting up there, so he'll set that pie on fire. He's like one. He's ready to step over into the threshold of 30 soon. And then that's when you stop, and then he gets the numbers.
Well, now you don't have to, if the pie's not warm, you just put the candles on there.
That's right, it warms it up.
Right, so you don't have to nuke it or anything.
That's right, when you're young it doesn't matter, because when you're, 7 years old, that's not enough. That's kind of a clever idea, to do the pie thing instead as something different. Well, if we had a cake, we would give it to WHKT. That's a new affiliate. We want to say big shout out to people listening to us in Virginia Beach and that whole area. I've already talked about this. I like Virginia Beach. I've been there many, many, many times. Norfolk, that whole area. You're talking about a big sailor area. And the ratio, I think I said this last time around last week, the ratio of men to women is really in the favor of the ladies. And it's, there's some great places. There's just some great little delis and places to eat there. And the beach is, I like the beach. I like the beach there. The beach is fun and pretty long. And then you got a little boardwalkish area too. So hello to all the people listening to us on WHK. TV. I said we were going to do birthdays, and we will definitely do that, but let's add some more levity to the situation. You know, we've been talking about all the stuff in Egypt and talking about the budget and how the budget's going to affect you with the belt tightening and all these other things, and we'll get into that much, much deeper. And then also what's the latest from the TSA. They're kind of backing off the hardcore, let's see, every appendage you have, because people are so upset by it, and now they're tired of being punchlines. Well, that's a good thing. So I'll get to all of that, but later in the week. But let's lighten the load. A couple of things. One from Wichita, Kansas. One from New York. One from Raymore, Missouri, that I happen to read. In Wichita, they're saying Paul Wigand now has to pay for failing to buckle up. He was ticketed for not complying with the state's mandatory seatbelt law. Check this out. He wears the seatbelt that he made himself using a car seat belt buckle, but it's not attached to the car. He told a judge he's terrified of being trapped in a burning car. So the judge ruled that just wearing any seatbelt doesn't meet the intent of the law. So he's got to pay a $30 fine and $96 in court costs. Ooh, I don't know. I think he kind of had a leg to stand on, saying he was afraid of what was going to happen, so he had come up with his own concoction. New York. It's an airport shuttle ride that some French tourists who came to the Big Apple probably won't forget. A New York City van driver has been sentenced to a year in jail. Police say they chased the van for 7 miles in Brooklyn and Queens before it crashed. The driver pleaded guilty to reckless endangerment. Prosecutors say the van driver and an accomplice were illegally picking up passengers near JFK Airport. And according to the police, the driver took off when an officer tried to stop the van, so then that was a dead giveaway. Oh, that's brutal. If you were in that van, they could have all been killed. How about this? Skeeter the Chihuahua is going to be the March Volunteer of the Month for the Rehabilitation Center of Raymore, Missouri. I know we have a lot of people listening to us in Missouri. His owner, Pansy Willis, adopted Skeeter after he was found wandering on the highway. She now takes him to the nursing home a few days a week. The people there get to pet and hold the tiny little Skeeter. They say that they've decided to name Skeeter their first non-human volunteer of the month. Wow, that's nice. You know, they do that a lot with dogs and older people. That's supposed to be something that helps older folks. You know, there's something about the dogs. How about the cheeseburger beggar out of Monroe, Louisiana? I guess the beggar can afford a lot more than a value meal. Officers in Monroe busted Thomas Moriarty for solicitation. They say they received complaints about a panhandler and warned him. Police say he's been holding a sign reading, "Vision of a cheeseburger, bless you," at an intersection for months. But he had collected more than $250 in cash and almost $9 in change and 4 Walmart gift cards. So he's being held on $500 bond. I guess it worked. See, humor works. It does. It sells, even if it's for not a good cause, because he was duping the people. All right, without further ado, quickly, let's hit some birthdays for you.
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
So celebrating a birthday, Drew Bledsoe. You remember Drew Bledsoe. Played for 9 seasons for the Patriots until Tom Brady screwed him out of his head job. And he moved on to a couple of other teams. 39 years old. Meg Tilly, she was in The Big Chill and a bunch of other movies. 51 years old. Gregory Hines was in a ton of different movies, if you remember. Hines, 65. For some reason, I didn't think Gregory Hines was alive. Michael Bloomberg, we know who he is. Mayor of New York, elected for 3 terms, 69 years old. Also, would have been celebrating a birthday. Jimmy Hoffa would be 98 years old if he were still alive. Where do you think Jimmy Hoffa's buried? Remember, he was the Teamsters union leader who vanished mysteriously. There was questions about whether he was buried under the Meadowlands and a few other places. They've talked about where he could have possibly showed up. All right, here's a good one for you, too. Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch. Remember, she was the mom, Carol Brady, 77 years old. If you're celebrating a birthday, whether you do it with pie, like our technical maestro, Matt Johnson, or you do the Carvel ice cream cake. Celebrate in style. Happy birthday to anybody listening to us in the America Tonight audience.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all-natural, all-organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-308. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and branded M10 gas masks are 3 for $30. And Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com. The main name in military supply.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Shank. This week, we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods. We've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick-fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than a dollar a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendivite. It's the time of year when we start thinking of Major League Baseball once again. In fact, your favorite hometown pitchers and catchers are packing their bags to head to Arizona or Florida. But when did this all start? Find out next with me, the Sports Princess, on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kit Essentials Nutritionally Complete Drink, providing your picky eater with essential nutrition and great taste in one drink. Visit us at kitessentials.com. To make sure your kids eat healthy, follow the 5-a-day plan. Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
It was really in the early 1900s when Major League Baseball teams started having their players get ready for the season in warmer climates, from about mid-February to opening day, which usually falls around April 1st. Where the teams trained was kind of all over the map. The Cubs practiced at one point in Florida and in Los Angeles in the 20s. The St. Louis Cardinals made Hot Springs, Arkansas their home at one point. And my favorite, the Pirates' lucky dogs, went to Honolulu. In 1915, the Philadelphia Phillies went to the Sunshine State and never looked back. And how about this? All but 6 of today's major league teams have trained in Florida at some point in their history, giving birth to the Grapefruit League. In 1947, Bill Veeck, the owner of the Cleveland Indians, took his tribe to Tucson, and legend has it he convinced the New York Giants at the time to come to Phoenix, and Arizona became known as the Cactus League. And boy, do the fans come. This year, the $100 million Salt River Fields in Scottsdale, Arizona, will house the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies. Can you say batter up? This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
Well, it's downhearted and confused. It's called maybe stupid. It's starting to lose.
Hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Here we are at the start of another big week. I'm sure in your neck of the woods and elsewhere. And we got a whole lot of things in this next 2 segments that we're going to jump to here on America Tonight, including, let me fill in the blanks a little bit more on Egypt. I think you know that this at this juncture,
Mubarak is, of course, out. We've been talking about that. Done since Friday. And it was very strange on Friday because it was kind of like being on a roller coaster that completely flew off the tracks, and then suddenly they repaired it and then it was back on the tracks because there was some confusion. Mubarak steps up and everybody thought, this is it, he's resigning. And then he says, no, I'm going to stay in place. And he hands over the power to Suleiman, but he's still in charge of the Constitution. It was all very confusing. So here's what happened. In the last couple of days, boom, by late Friday, he was, in fact, done resigning. Gee, he had a power grip on on the country 30-plus years. But Egypt's military dissolved the parliament and suspended the Constitution to take care of that problem. That made sense. That happened on Sunday. That follows the ouster of Mubarak telling the people that they would be in charge, the military would be in charge for 6 months or until the elections could be held. So the Supreme, to make it all official, so you get it, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces said they're going to appoint a committee to propose these changes to the Constitution. Then it gets submitted to the voters. That council will have the power to issue new laws during the transition period. So follow me. This is February until September. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Egypt because a whole lot of things could happen. Who's to say that democracy is going to be unfurled on these people of Egypt and all is going to be well with the world and peace and Egypt, and everything will be fine, just like it was in the past for other people who had concerns in the Middle East. Who knows? It's a wild new frontier. There are a lot of things that could happen here. And even with the military, because some of the opposition people who have been in the streets, Muslim Brotherhood folks and some others, they certainly could have their own little uprising, and they're going to demand, I guarantee, that the military explain some more about what they're going to do. And if they don't, could see more people out in the square again in Cairo. Remember, what's interesting also about what's happened in Egypt is the fact that in the 18 days, what was this about? How did this start? 18 days. Social media, Twitter, setting up a Facebook page. The Google exec, the Egyptian Google exec, did that. And you had a sea of people that who are disenfranchised, who are young, unemployed, who filled the square. They weren't the only ones, but they were the majority of the people. So Mubarak steps down, and now you've had this guy in place since forever and a day, because he was a military guy originally, and he's been in power 30 plus years. I mean, even before that, with his military expertise. So this is complete new dawn. And it can mean a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going to be, to the outside world, smooth sailing, because who knows? Tahrir Square has been really the epicenter of this eruption of social media and change for all these protests. Now, things have been taken down, and there's order, and stores have opened up, and all that sort of thing. But that can change. And, in fact, they've had protests at the bank there, at the headquarters of the National Bank of Egypt, because they're forcing that the chairman of that bank and a couple of others who run the bank as well are out. They forced them out, basically. They had to resign. And why do you think that is? Well, because the protesters realize that money is gone. The money that was supposed to go to Egypt isn't there. So the banks are shut down until Wednesday. And, you know, Mubarak's family has had their fingers in all these pies. This will change everything. Even Cairo Stock Exchange said they're going to freeze transactions from former ministers and businessmen who are under investigation. Of course they're under investigation, because who knows what went where. And then you have people complaining about wages. So there are a lot of things that are going on in Egypt. Just looking at it on the surface, the unrest right now, today, is done. But where do they go from here to bring it all around, and the things that we've been talking about this hour? All right, I said that I was going to give you a few political Valentines in the spirit of love and all that. How about this? I thought, you know, if I'm House Speaker John Boehner, he seems to be trying to play well with others, not just the people who love him in his own camp. He's trying to do that. So I would say, what if he had a Valentine that he sent out to all his GOP brethren that said, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. Let's not have any problems. We had that one situation with the congressman in New York. Ooh, ouch. The no shirt thing, the Craigslist deal. Ooh, we don't need that. Let's keep it clean. Let's try to get to the finish line. Because after all, we need somebody who's sexy without taking his shirt off for 2012. Assuming that's going to be a man. Okay, so the other Valentine I thought of, and there could be a lot, that President Obama should be sending out a lot of Valentines, but one could just strictly be to the American people, and it would be something like this. Please, please reelect me. Think about it. Make up the little candy hearts. Have Robert Gibbs is now out, so he's got time on his hands. He can hand the hearts out to the voters. First he goes to New York, stands outside of many of the subway stations, and hands them out. Please, please reelect me, because that's what it's going to be about, 2012. And some of his key guys will be playing for 2012. So that's two of them. We've got some other political Valentines. You might be much more clever than I am. And if you are, please share your own with me. In the next 2 days, we're going to do this. So 800-259-5791 or americatonight.com. Net, americatonight.net. You can send them to me that way as well. A couple of other quick things, because I know some of you are fans of the music biz, right? You know, we're all hardcore when it comes to politics, and we want to vent our frustration and say what's wrong with this country and this is the direction we should be going in, and et cetera, right? But all of you are kicking back. As hardcore as any of you are, I guarantee. I guarantee many of you have this little contraption called the iPod. I mean, you're a real throwback if you're going to 8-tracks or cassette tapes. Does anybody have those? Does anybody have a record player anymore? Are you spinning the vinyl back there? So I'm assuming most of you have at least an iPod, probably the mini or something else. That's what you're listening to. And that's what you're listening on. And you're listening to music. So how about this? Lady Gaga didn't win the Album of the Year Grammy. How about that? Eminem didn't either, because that was part of the buzz leading up to it. Music writers were talking about how many top hits she's had and that this was a possibility. So here's what the scoop is. Here are some of your winners. Some of these groups, I have to confess, I barely know. I barely know some of these groups. And you may know them better than me. So let's tell you a couple of them. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Whet your appetite, so to speak. Record of the Year, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now. Album of the Year, The Suburbs, Arcade Fire. Song of the Year, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now. Also, the rock album was The Resistance, The Muse. Eminem, I like this. The rap album, Recovery. Female country vocal performance, Miranda Lambert, The House That Built Me. How about that? Lady Gaga, female pop vocal performance, Bad Romance. I'm just saying.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach, who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
So, scale of 1 to 10. From this America Tonight crowd, be it chat, email, or 800-259-5791, how do you think the United States handled Egypt? So a couple of interesting comments from various people in the crowds at the square in Cairo that I thought were just perfect for the situation. In other words, they really had their finger on the pulse of this revolution or this movement away from the dictator Mubarak. One of the guys that was interviewed just briefly, he was shouting in the crowd and everything, said, "Well, we don't care about America, no offense, but this is the guy that you had in place. And he's taken a ton of our money, and we want our money back." So what a perfect place to start. Curtis Greco is the author of a book called Blind Vision, and we're going to pick his brain about Egypt and a few other things. Hey, Curtis, thanks for hanging with us here on ATN.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. I was just talking about this. Two different things. One, why should the people listening to this show right now, and I've said this for the last 18 days, why should the people in the United States care about Egypt? What is it that's important for the people here in America to realize about Egypt, or why should they care?
Well, there's a couple good reasons. The primary one being is the instability in Europe, or in particularly as it migrates from the Middle East through Europe, has several consequences to the United States. One is, of course, the ever-present threat of terrorism, but also economic and social instability that is caused also migrate. Consequent effects to the United States as well.
Right. So, sure, the economic reality, and that's what I've been talking about too. That's what you have to care about. I mean, hey, if nothing else, you got to look at it. And as you said, you look at the situation with Europe, and you look at the situation that's happened in a couple of other places. So, absolutely, in the reverse side of that, and I've seen a couple of interviews now with some people in Egypt who were so-called leading the movement, if you will, the revolution of the last 18 days. And they say they're not concerned about America's role in any of this, or why should America be telling us what to do? Because, after all, they're the people, the Americans are the people who backed Mubarak, who was stealing money from us and who was a dictator. So why should we care what America thinks? You're not surprised by that, right?
Well, no, not really. But, you know, let's all be... You know, we need to have a little bit of a history lesson here in the United States and remember that the Middle East as we see it today with the appearance of sovereign countries, for example, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Israel, Yemen, Tunisia, Libya, and so on. These are all countries that are the creation of post-World War I France and England. We took what was largely a tribal region and partitioned it for management purposes to make it easier to manage and created these nation states as we see today. So, number one, there is no democratic history and process in the Middle East. These are largely tribal tradition, largely Arab, heavily Muslim-based folks who really... The fantasy that we would have here in the United States is somehow, and of course it's an American tradition, this concept that we can come into a place and we can somehow duplicate the American experience in areas where there is no history for it. The United States as we see it today, regardless of whether or not we have a conversation about the effectiveness of our democratic model or how well we honor the democratic and republican traditions of this country, let's be frank about it and realize that it is a process that has evolved over the last 200 plus years.
Right.
To think that we're going to go in and expect that these countries are going to summarily and universally resolve to American form of democracy is a fool's paradise. And if we look at it from the standpoint of Iraq is an example without the U.S. there as a stabilizing factor, Iraq would easily suspend or revert back to some form of tribal conflict, which is largely going on as it is.
Right.
So the great question that we need to pay attention to, and we all need to be alert to, is that whether or not we look at the United States' role in the Middle East as backing someone like Mubarak, the fact of the matter is that without a strong centralized government similar to what you have in Israel, similar to what you have in Saudi Arabia, for example, or Mubarak, you are not going to be able to stabilize those traditional roles that have largely been tribal. So that's part of the equation that folks need to understand. There is no truth in the statement that simply because a few folks got around the table or their PCs late one night and started shooting off Facebook postings or Twitter messages that somehow this is the equivalent of a nascent democratic movement. There may be an ambition for it, but the lifeblood of democracy, as you and I know it, mm-hmm. as we have seen it here in the United States, is not something that just simply happened with a bunch of guys in Boston throwing a bunch of boxes of British tea in the water.
Yeah, wow, well said. I agree with you 100%. September, those elections then, having said that, we'll see. We'll see what happens because, you know, who knows what the form those elections, what's really going to take place when they have them, if they have them in September. Do you think they'll hold the elections? There's a good question. You think they'll have them?
Well, you know, it's entirely possible, and I think that one thing to also be aware of is that, you know, Mubarak, love him or hate him, has comes from a rich military history within Egypt, going back to the time of Nasser, and then ultimately to his predecessor, Sadat, and then, of course, because he was the former head of, if I remember my history correct, Mubarak was a commander of the Egyptian Air Force, and then later became the head of the Egyptian defense. So as we move to this notion of, or this idea of democratic elections, I think it's entirely possible, and frankly, it is highly likely. But here is the big problem. Here is the big question. Look at the parallels historically. You know, I was very much in tune with what was going on at the time of the Iran conflict and or collapse of the Shah's regime. And here's the great kind of form of lunacy that a somewhat sophomorish approach to global nation building can ultimately fail, is to consider how Carter dealt with the Ayatollah Khomeini, that somehow we're going to have some sort of noble and virtuous conversation with Khomeini. They're going to allow him back into Iran, and we're all going to sit down at a table, and we're going to be friends, and we're going to work this out. Fast forward to today, and Obama's rhetoric, starting with, you know, the transition from the former Bush administration, that Obama made the comment that we're going to all sit down with Iran and we're all going to negotiate the conflagration between Iran, Iraq, and Iran's development of nuclear nuclear technologies for ballistic or nuclear weapons, and that somehow Obama believes that his persona, his charm, his great mastery of NLP is somehow going to completely reverse the caliphate mantra of the Muslim extremists, and somehow they're going to have an epiphany and realize that after all these years that the U.S. is now their friends. And so consequently, so if you look at it from the Egyptian standpoint,
yeah,
and if we see the turmoil in countries, whether it be Tunisia or Algeria, et cetera, the question we really need to pay attention to is the risk that the potential of subversive interest, hint, hint, Muslim Brotherhood, could derail the process by a weary or perhaps even ignorant public that doesn't even realize the strength of that entity and their ability to alter the course of this democratic movement. And that's a great risk. That's something we need to be all watching for and paying attention to.
Absolutely. Curtis Greco, just great stuff. We have to have you back on again. Tell everybody you can go to your blog, theimperfectmessenger.com. And, of course, also, as I mentioned at the top, Blind Vision is his book. We look forward to speaking with you, Curtis, again in the future. That was good stuff. Pay attention to what he was saying. I think he was dead on about the situation in the Middle East and especially what's happening in Egypt. Curtis, thanks. Appreciate your time.
Yvette King, thanks so much. Look forward to being with you again.